thankful this morning to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Good. God has been good to us, and he's good all the time. Not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I'm happy to be home. Amen. Thank you, Brother Stroud, for filling in for me. Spent some time in Syracuse, New York. God got me back home safely.
Amen.
And God's 7 baptisms, many, many restorations, a very successful meeting. And the power is still yet in the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being gospel believers. Amen. Supporters, as Brother Brooks is out traveling and preaching, we thank you for your support, your love, and your prayers. Amen.
Amen.
So it's good to see all of you. If you're here today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, y'all aren't a guest of the audience, and we pray you will leave a member of the Lord's church by obeying the gospel, by believing that he hung, bled, and died, shed the blood that washed your sins away. That same blood purchased his church, his bride, his wife, the Church of Christ. The only church you ever read about in the Bible. I wouldn't be in another one when I die. Amen. The Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. The Bible said to save the in the church. Amen. So to save have one but one God. That's God the Father, but one Lord, that's Jesus the Christ, but one Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit that makes up the Godhead, and all the saved are in but one church, and it's referred to as the Church of Christ. Like it or not, that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
So, I mean, when you start looking at your salvation, you get one shot at this thing. You don't get to come back after you die. You got to get it right here. And then when you become a member of the Lord's church, you go into true worship where you sing. Without the help of mechanical instruments and music, we will pray. We will take the Lord's Supper, not on the first Sunday, but every Sunday. Every Christians in the Bible did it every Sunday. Somebody changed it, but it wasn't God. Amen. There is a command to take the Lord's Supper, and we do it every first day of the week, which is a memorial of the day Jesus resurrected from the grave. Therefore, we are to do this in remembrance of him. Amen. So that's what we do. And we take a collection, of course, and then the plate goes around one time. And God loves cheerful givers. You don't have to beg people to give right. They're going to give right who love the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
But we do have a 10-plus plan going on here to sow and reap. How many of y'all enjoying that?
Amen.
Yeah, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. I've been a good giver since the day I got baptized. Have you? Yeah, I've seen nothing but blessings come my way. Nothing but blessings. Bible says you reap what you sow. You give little, you reap little. I mean, you give good, God blesses you. Don't miss your blessings. Amen. God can take all that money you make, and you don't give it back to him, put a hole in your pocket, and you won't never gain nothing in life. Amen. So this morning, let's go to John chapter 13, picking up the study of the book of John. Been a great study. This morning's sermon is entitled After the Sop. After the Sop. Let's pick up in verse number 18. It's where we're going to be at this morning. Verse 18 of John 13. The Bible says that Jesus said, I speak not of you,
of you all.
I know whom I have chosen.
But that the scripture might be fulfilled,
uh-huh.
He that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me.
Jesus said, I'm not talking about everybody. But the one I'm talking about, even though I chose all of you, there's going to be one who's going to be like a horse. He's going to kick his master. That's what lifting up the heel means. And so Jesus is saying, this is recorded in the scripture. In Psalms chapter 41 and verse 9, it's recorded. He's quoting scripture. He's quoting the prophecy that one would kick against him, that would lift up his heel against him, that would be the one that would eat bread with him that day. And this, the psalmist writes, and yea, my own familiar friend, key word is friend, my own familiar friend whom
I trusted.
Did eat of my bread.
Had lifted up his heel against me.
A friend he trusted would lift his heel up against him, and he did. The lifting up, as I said, it was this kick that Judas gave him, that the horse's kick, and that it would be the kick of death. It would be the betrayal of Jesus the Christ. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 26 and the verses number 48, let's go over there, look at what Jesus said there about this friend. And now we're talking about friend in relationships. With a relationship. Notice this was a friend with a relationship. One friend that he trusted. And this is a friend that he's talking about. Now, he betrayed him, gave them a sign. Verse 48, he that betrayed him gave them a sign saying, whosoever I shall kiss,
that same is he. Hold him fast. Oh,
now, so Judas is saying, the one I kiss is the one that you got to arrest. And now, forthwith, he came to Jesus.
And said, Hail, Master, and kissed him.
And kissed him. The kiss of death right here from a friend. And Jesus said unto him, Friend,
wherefore art thou come?
Friend, wherefore art thou come? See, Jesus referred to him as a friend, whom then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now, as with Jesus, we are the friends of Jesus. Even though we may betray him or deny him, he still see us as friends. That's something we can't do as mankind. When people let us down, they're no longer our friend. Hey, Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus looked at the world of sinners, the people who were hanging on the cross. People can get back at you because you've done something they didn't like. They won't speak to you. They won't talk to you. You're no longer a friend. But the man that hung Jesus on the cross, the Bible said, greater love had no man than this. Then he laid down his life for his friend. They killed him. He was still calling him a friend.
Amen.
Yeah, don't let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. It was about a relationship. Right. It was about a relationship. See, men, we have a problem with this issue of trust and friendship. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus never stopped calling him a friend because they broke his trust. When people let us down, we stop speaking, we stop talking, we start hating. Because we don't have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That's what we don't have. And when you have the mind of Christ, no matter what a person do to you, no matter if they do break your trust, you can still love them. Amen.
Amen.
See, that's why a lot of people go to divorce court, because they don't love. While I'm on divorce, we ought to be talking about marriages.
Amen.
Our marriages are tore up because there's no friendship. Will die because we have friendship and no relationship, or have relationship with no friendship, because you can't forgive. That's not a friend.
Amen.
Yeah, well, I've been in New York. I'm kind of hyped up. I'm going to calm it down. It's not a friend. If we view friendship only when I forgive, or friendship only when I'm okay and the relationship is good, we friends. But when you break my trust, I'm no longer your friend. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what he done at all.
That's good.
And many relationships are torn apart. Many marriages are torn apart because there was a relationship but not a friendship to the end. Then you make those vows. To death do us part, for better or worse, in sickness and in health. But when somebody break your trust, now that's on your worst list, but you can't forgive it. You can't let it go. You can't move on. You go to divorce court. Amen.
Amen.
It's quiet in Harlem Heights. That's why I encourage people going through premarital. I got 3 or 4 of those premaritals going on right now, which is a good thing. People should marry. You shouldn't be shacking and living together, all that kind of stuff. You get married, man.
Amen.
But get some advice before you get married. Don't just jump into something. You don't know. You might be jumping into a bad situation. You jump on. You know, be careful by jumping. Everything that look good ain't good.
Amen.
Everything that look good to you ain't good for you.
Amen.
Amen. Walls and lights. Yeah. Get some advice. Know what you're getting into. Know who she is and who he is. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Amen.
Yeah. So. And then you should attend the marriage class. Learn what marriage, before the class, before you marry, go to the marriage class. Marriage class ain't nothing but a Bible class.
That's
go
it.
Learn what God wants you to do. Go learn, even if you're 10 years away from marriage, go to class.
Amen.
Go learn what the Lord has to say about a marriage so that you don't end up in divorce court. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So you understand relationships ain't about everybody doing right. Relationship is about accepting the wrongs.
Amen.
accepting the wrong, okay with forgiveness. It doesn't matter what a person do, forgiveness is in order in the eyesight of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Learn that before you run to the divorce court. Learn to forgive first. Save your money.
Amen.
But you know, and then they would say, well, that's Jesus. He could be a friend to an enemy. Well, you know, he said, love your enemy. He still gave us, it's still a command for us to love him. So what are you trying to say? Well, you just don't know what they did to me, Brother Briggs. I ask you what you're trying to say.
Amen.
That you can't love an enemy. That's really what you're saying, is that you can't do what the Lord told you. You can't love that person anymore. You can't even speak to them. You can't even spend time around them. You ain't right when you see them. Yeah. What are we talking about this morning? Relationship. Judas and Jesus had a relationship. And we have a relationship with Jesus. And what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. And then he says, greater love than no man than this, that I lay down my life for my friends. Boy, if we could get this, I mean, you know, it's for some of us, if we ain't going to get to heaven because we can't grasp this love thing no matter what a person does to me. Watch this. Jesus had a relationship with the man that would kiss him to death. He said, now I'm going to tell y'all, verse 19, John 13. I'm going to tell you before it comes.
Now I tell you before it comes.
That when it has come to pass,
ye may believe that I am he.
He said, now, see, Jesus has been working on these guys' belief all the way up to this point. He's about to die. He's only a few hours away from death, really. He's at the end of his life right here. This is going to be his last supper. And he's been working on these apostles' belief since the day he chose them. He said, when y'all see who this is going to do this, it's going to increase your belief as well. Then he said, I say to you,
verily, verily, I say unto you,
he that receiveth
whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me.
Jesus is letting Judas know. Judas is listening to this conversation. Once you choose the devil, you lose God. And so what he said, application for us, we are servants of whomever we choose to obey. If we choose to obey God, we're serving God. But if we choose to obey the devil, we're servants of the devil. So he's saying now, once you choose the devil, you just gave up God. Amen. And that's what the Bible is teaching us, 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Talking about the Father. He that abide in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. So Jesus telling Judas, once you make this decision, Judas, once you make this decision, brother, sister, once you choose not to be baptized, once you choose not the truth, once you choose not to commune every week, you have chosen
the devil,
the one you go serve.
Amen.
No one wants to think of being a child of the devil, but that is exactly what's going to happen. And when you choose the devil, you can't have God the Father. Judas is about to make a grave mistake, serious mistake. But it's decision time for Judas. And it's going to cause him in the end to have to face God. Get Hebrews chapter 10. Here's what we got to look forward to. Here's why no matter what going on in my life, I pray I'll never leave the church. Amen. It's my prayer that I'll never leave the Lord, that I'll never do this. Here's what he said, because here's what we got to face. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Listen to this. The Bible says, For we know him that had said,
vengeance belongeth unto me, I will
recompense,
saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people.
I'm talking about judgment. So God, once we reject God and receive the devil, then God's saying, you know what, you're an enemy now. You chose the wrong side. Vengeance belongs to me.
Unto me.
You got to deal with daddy. See, he gave the son. The son died on the cross. The son going to go back, 1 Corinthians 15:24. He going to give up rule and authority. Then daddy steps on the scene for judgment. So did you not understand that was my child? Did you not understand the blood was shed to wash your sins away? Did you not understand the blood purchased the church? Did you not know the command to drink it weekly? Did you not know you chose the devil? Now you, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And then the Hebrew writer records that. He said, the next verse, he says, and let me remind you, it's a fearful thing
to fall into the hands of the living God.
The Father. This is talking about the Father. It's a different, he's letting us know it's going to be a fearful thing to be an enemy of God on the day of judgment. Amen. So what are you saying, brother? Judas making a bad move here. It's a bad mistake. Look here. Let's go back to John 13. This is what Jesus said. You don't receive me or you reject me. You can receive me or you can reject me. Many people today will reject Jesus. Jesus said, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, had one that judging him. The words I spoke the same were judging the last day. Every word Jesus spoke must be obeyed. In verse 21, let's go back to John 13:21.
When Jesus had thus said,
He was troubled
in spirit and testified.
He started to speak boldly
and
about
said,
Jesus is troubled. He started to speak. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I'm going to tell you this.
I say unto you that one of you shall betray
me. Now, remember, all 12 of them are at the table. They're all around the table in couches. They say they lean on their one arm and they eat with the other arm and something like that. But Jesus is troubled by the fact that, man, I chose 12 of y'all. And one of you, out of all my friends at this table, one of my friends is going to betray me. I got death to face. I'm facing the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm facing the scourging. I'm facing the crown of thorns. I'm facing 6 trials. I'm facing the crucifixion by execution by crucifixion. But the first thing I got to face is that one of the 12 that I chose is getting ready to do what he's going to do. So he's troubled. But he goes on and testifies. So he tells his disciples, this is getting ready to happen. And so Jesus wasn't the only one troubled that day, though. It was other around the table trouble. Which tells me when the leader's troubled, others can be troubled.
Amen.
That's why we got to not let them still sweat all the time. Mm-hmm. Amen, leadership.
Amen.
And everything don't need to be told. That leadership dealing with. Jesus never told them, even though he knew, he finally testified. Which tell me there are times when I shouldn't tell you everything going on. I just need to deal with it as the leader. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's for those who think things are not transparent. Sometimes it's not expedient. Jesus did not bring this matter up until it was getting ready to happen. Talk to me, Brother Brooks.
Amen.
I am. I'm glad you asked me to do that. Yeah. So leaders can become trouble. Jesus is trouble, but he wasn't the only one. Go to John chapter, look at John 13:22, Brother Stroud, real quick. Then the disciples look one on another. Now look how they starting to look. The disciples don't look at each other and say.
Then the disciples look one on another.
One at another. They start looking at each other. Can you visualize James,
spake.
John, Andrew, Philip, all of them around the table. Looking at each other, said, man, what did he just say? Because this is a shocking announcement, Jesus made. Now, one of y'all going to betray me. And they think about who in the world at this table is going to do something like that. You know, that tell me when I'm among leaders, you don't never know who's among you. Amen. Amen. You don't know who's with you. And sometimes you can't know who's with you. Sometimes you can't know because he put on a good front. The whole time, Judas acted just like he was with him. So all of them shot. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom.
One of his disciples.
That just means he was close enough to whisper. That's all.
Whom
he
was close enough to whisper. Jesus loved.
Now, he was the one that Jesus loved. And so he said, Simon Peter, therefore speculating him.
That
Peter
he should ask
is not close enough
who
to ask
should
Jesus,
be
this
of
disciple
whom he spake.
So Peter said, man, ask him. Ask him. See, Peter is begging. I mean, he's giving him, he's doing something like that because this disciple is close enough to say, hey, Jesus. So he's whispering to Jesus, who is it? Peter trying to figure this thing out because, you know, Peter wanted to, he'll pull the sword quick. Y'all remember, he cut out that dude's ear quick. So Peter's getting ready to go into the fight mode. Really, that's why I think he's thinking. Peter need to calm down right about here. Because brother meeting will make you want to go into the fight mode, won't it, brother?
Amen.
There ain't nothing brother. Brothers meeting right here with them brothers. Y'all brothers will catch that when you get home. And I tell y'all, like Brother Bob Adam told me, one day you'll understand when you get in one of them meetings. Yeah. You'll understand that one of these days. I didn't know what he meant until I seen a brother with a gun with him at a brother's meeting one time. I said, huh? Serious, man. I'm serious, man. I didn't have no gun with me, though. I was scared. The dude had a gun, man. He got so mad. It's a true story. And then when brother Bob Adam had told me I was a newcomer, he said one of these days you're going to get a brother meeting, you're going to see the other side. Now, this is a brother's meeting. And the master's at the brother's meeting, and there's a Judas in the meeting. So when our brother's meeting, guess what? It's a good chance there's going to be a Judas in the audience. Yeah, they normally raise their little ugly face up, though. They're going to say something anti-church. This is a serious situation here, right? Peter said, man, who is this guy? He then lying
on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it?
Now, he said, who is it? Now, John, this disciple, rather, said, Lord, who is it? Now, let's go to Matthew's account. They give some more details. This is a good study, right? You learn it?
Amen.
Y'all learn it. You're like, hallelujah. Y'all want to make a shout? I can do some of that. But dude, we're going to learn some things, right? Look what happened here in this text.
Matthew
chapter number. Let's go. Let's see. Y'all go to John 12. 21:20. Let's go there first.
John.
We're going to determine who is this guy that loved him. John 21:20. Who is the disciple that Jesus loved? Now, Jesus had an inner circle, you know. He had three of them, Peter, James, and John. He took up with him to the mountain. He took them with him to the garden to pray. So Jesus had these close-knit group. Then Peter turned about.
Then
verse 20.
Peter turned about, turning see about,
Jesus,
seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Which also leaned on his breast at supper.
That's the same one, isn't it?
Okay. And said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee?
Now this is that disciple. Peter,
seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?
Now Peter done heard the conversation, said, man, what is this cat gonna do? And then he says,
Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.
Okay. Now this is Peter and James and Peter here and the other disciple is the fact that they're together and they're asking questions. And Jesus said, "Wait here." Then went this saying among the brethren
that the disciple should not die.
Yet Jesus said
not unto him.
So he shall not die. Peter will worry about this other side getting killed. So Jesus said he's not gonna get killed. But if I will tarry till I come,
now this, what is that to thee?
Here it is. This is the disciple
which testified of these things and wrote these things.
So what book are we reading?
Book of John.
All right. He said, now that's the one he loved, the guy that wrote this letter, this John. So he's saying the disciple that he loved wrote this letter right here, which is called the book of who?
John.
Now John is the disciple that was at the table that leaned over and asked Jesus the question. Y'all get it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it's the disciple. Now, this same John is going to be at the cross. Go to John 19 and the verse is number 25. This same apostle that Jesus loved will be the only one of the 12 that stand at the foot of the cross. The same one. This John, now there stood by the cross Jesus of Jesus,
his mother's sisters are there.
Mary,
the wife of Cleophas,
and Mary Magdalene.
And Mary Magdalene.
Now, when Jesus therefore saw his mother
And the disciple
There he is again. The disciple standing there by.
Whom he loved.
This is the same guy. Same guy that was at the table asking a question. The same guy that was with Peter. This same John. This is John. Standing by. He said unto his mother.
Woman. Behold thy son.
See John. You see him? He's pointing at the disciple he loved. And notice what he said. And
then said he to the disciple.
He spoke to John, the disciple.
Behold, he said, thy mother.
You see, mama, this is how close they were. This is how close a relationship they had. He said, you see, mama.
And from that
hour. You see my mama. And from that hour.
That disciple took her unto his
own
home.
That man was, him and Jesus were that close. Where Jesus took his mother into his own home. Jesus loved this man. And this man loved Jesus. He went with him all the way to the cross. But now he's at the table. And he's asking a question. He's saying, Lord, who is it? During the Matthew's account. And verse, let's see more details on this. In Matthew 26, 21 again. Matthew 26 and the verse number 21, Brother Stroud.
Matthew 26, 21.
Yes, sir.
And as they did eat.
As they eat.
He said. Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.
The same account. Now, Matthew recording what happened that day with Judas at the table when they were eating. And notice what?
And they were exceeding sorrowful.
See, I told you it wasn't just Jesus that was troubled. They're tripping, as we would say today. Amen. Right, young folk? They tripping. Like, man. It'd be like me and you and Stroud all and Brother Floyd and Tim, all of us in the room. And somebody, I said, y'all, one of these guys in here going to betray me. Everybody said, what are you talking about, Brother Brooks? You know, who is it? Is it Bo? Your best friend? Is it going to be Q? Q Dog? I call him Q Dog. Q? Hey, the captain? Is it going to be Tim? The air conditioner man? Is it going to be Fly Floyd? And who else I got at the table? Is it going to be Quiet Joe Tima?
Yeah.
Who else, Russ Brown?
Brown.
Oh, is it going to be, I want to call Rob. Who is he? The who? Oh, the tech guy. IT. You know, IT. Is it going to be old tech? Is it going to be old tech Rob?
Allen?
It's a big, tall, big man out, big eight. Who going to betray me?
Somebody.
Now, everybody around the table that love Brother Brooks is saying, man.
Hey, me.
Hold on. Now, who is it? So these guys saying, no, they upset at this. They're sorrowful. And begin every one of them to say,
Lord.
They start asking.
Is it I?
Who? Is it I? And then he says, he answered them and said, he that dipped
his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.
All of them getting ready to do it. Notice what he said next. The Son of Man goeth
as
written of him.
As it is written
of him. Woe unto that man.
But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed.
It should
be
good.
It has been good for that man if he
had
not been
born. Then Judas.
Which betrayed him.
No, the guilty. They said, you know what?
Master.
Once that mouth come open. See, you just keep just, hold on. That rascal going to give himself away. A snake will. He'll sss before he bites you. He going to do something to come from his mouth. Before the bite, he got the sss. You got to listen for the sss. Listen for the rattle. Because the snake going to bite you. And once he bites you, it's deadly. Notice the way he speak.
Master,
is it I? Now, you know, folk can ask questions. Did I do it? You know you did it. Did I do it? Is it I? Yes, you. You knew that before you asked it was you. He knew it was him. Didn't he know it was him? Yeah, he did. Him and Jesus knew. Go to Mark's account. Jesus said, you said it. I did. I didn't have to say it because you already admitted it. Listen to what Mark's account says, Brother Stroud. Mark 14, 18. So I get this closed. 14:18.
And as they sat and did eat,
Jesus said,
verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me.
They began to be sorrowful.
All of them are sorrowful,
not just Jesus. They're sorrowful. And saying to him, one by one. 12 of them asking the same question.
And another said, is it
I? Another one said, is it I?
And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12
that dipped with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as written
of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed.
Good
were it for that man if he had never been born.
So it's shocking to them. They say, oh, man, it's serious. These guys are shocked. They're surprised. They're disturbed by this news, and they're trying to determine who in the world is this Jesus talking about. Only Jesus and Judas knew at the time. None of them knew what was coming. Go back to John 13, Brother Stroud, where we went our text in verse number 26. Now, here's how the story ends.
Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sign.
Here's my signal. Everybody's watching. He said, the one that I give sop, S-O-P, that's the morsel, the bread. So, you know, like us, we get cornbread and mustard green.
That's it.
How many of y'all like cornbread and mustard green?
Collard green.
Collard green. Bro, I said collard green. He from Florida. Mustard greens in Texas.
Yeah,
we get them mustard green. Them mustard green with some onion. Boy, your breath gets stinky, but it would be good. Amen. How many of y'all like mustard green? You take that corn, look at Brother Smith, he back there, yeah, man. Brother Smith getting hungry now. You can't leave, yeah, let's worship, Brother Smith. Brother Smith, even he thought, think about that cornbread. Yeah, and you take that cornbread, and now my mom and them, now Sister Cell, the only one I see still eat like my mother eat. Now, what she would do, this is a little side note.
Okay.
You don't mind that, dear Brother Smith? Okay, I'm going to do it anyway. So, I'm just playing. I'm not being arrogant, I'm just my friend.
Amen.
Trusted friend.
Amen.
You ain't going to betray me, are
Amen.
You?
Amen.
Okay.
Is it I?
Thou sayest. That's what Jesus said. He said, you said it. I didn't say it. Now, what mama would do, though, my mama would do. Now, look at that brother. He back there looking. Yeah, man, I'm thinking about it. They would take the mustard green. And what they would do, they use the hand and the cornbread. You don't know nothing about this. You too young. You don't know nothing about this. You got to be from Hempel, Texas. And tell them, a country somewhere. They take that cornbread, and you might cook him some cornbread, mustard green, let him try. And mash that bread. You know about that. Yeah. And what they do, they don't use forks. They would take it. Sop. She sopped it. Soaked it in that juice. Man, oh man. Ooh wee. Lord have mercy. Ooh wee. Which one of you sisters gonna cook me some mustard green? You know my wife in the hospital. Hey, baby, I know she white. Hey. And that's okay, honey. I'm gonna get somebody to cook me some greens. She looking at me on Facebook Live. Yeah, I like that.
Amen.
But anyway, I'll tell you what, once Brother Brooke put it out there like this, somebody ought to give me some cornbread and some mustard green in it. I'm getting hungry too. Ain't you, Brother Caravan? Caravan said he wants something too. All of us going to sop.
Amen.
My point is, I'm trying to teach y'all about sopping. And well, I did a little humor to do that because I'm going to say some tough stuff here in a minute as I close this letter because it's going to be after the sop the problem starts. See, the sop. So here to sop you. Notice what's going on.
And when he had dipped
he took the morsel, the bread, and put it into the liquid.
He gave it to Judas
and then he handed it to Judas,
the son of Simon.
Now, Peter, James, and John, all of them looking. It's Judas. And the Bible said, verse number 27.
And after the sop.
That's my title right there. After the sop. Satan
entered into
Judas, him. Then said Jesus unto him,
Thou do what you
gonna do now quick.
Do it quickly.
Gonna do it. He's gonna move on. So here's my point. My title, the main thought I want y'all to leave with is this. After the sop is a moment of decision.
Okay.
When we choose to suck. We have turned from God. Judas could have repented right here and turned to Christ. But Judas chose the devil. He chose to become a servant of the devil. This doesn't mean he was possessed with the devil. I proved that last sermon. But where I want to present the idea of all of us can have a sop moment.
Okay.
But the problem is the sop. The problem is after the sop.
Amen.
So there's a before the sop and an after the sop. I want to present an idea, a concept, considering that in John chapter 17, verse 12, verse 5, my friend, I trust.
Verse 12.
While I was with them in the world.
While I was with them in the world.
I kept them in thy name.
In thy name.
Those that gavest me.
Thou gavest me.
I kept.
I have kept. And none of them is lost.
But
the son of perdition.
There he is.
That the son of might be fulfilled.
The one that sought. I'm presenting an idea that once we sought, we become the son of perdition. Perdition is destruction. Perdition is a Hebrew Hebraism, a son of death, a son of destruction, a son of corruption, or a son of the devil. So we get a decision. We can choose whom we go serve before the sop. When you're ready, before the sop is the decision time. After the sop is nighttime. Go back to John. Look at the end of the story.
Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake unto him.
He didn't know why. They didn't understand why did he tell him to go do what you got to do quick. They were thinking.
For some of them,
Judas got the bag.
Because Judas had the bag that
Jesus
said unto
him to go ahead and get some stuff for the feast.
Buy those things that we have need of.
Or that he should give something to the poor. And then now watch this.
He then, having received the sop.
This is the sop. He received the sop immediately, and he went out, and it was what?
And it was night.
Okay, here's my point. After the sop will always be darkness. It will always be nighttime. It will never be light, because in God there's no darkness at all. So what I'm saying to all of us is that there is a before the sop. The sop is saying, I'm becoming the son of perdition. I'm choosing the devil over God. That's what I'm doing. And before the sop, I have a decision. But after the sop, it's too late. Now, I want y'all to know that Judas committed both physical and spiritual suicide. When he did, he had suicidal thoughts. Go to James 1:13. I'm closing now. But watch this. In James 1:13, you hear what I'm saying? There are more people with suicidal thoughts than there are committing suicide. There are a lot of people having suicidal thoughts, but not many of them carry out the suicide.
Amen.
So he had suicidal thoughts before he carried out spiritual suicide. Listen to him in James 1:13. The Bible says what?
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man.
But every man
is tempted
when he's drawn away.
When he is drawn away,
that's the suicidal
of his own lust.
His lust, his thoughts,
enticed.
Is suicidal. They get ready to kill themselves spiritually and enticed. He's been tempted in his mind. Then when lust has to see, it bringeth forth sin. Now it's the after the sop. It's bringing forth sin or perdition or destruction, because sin offers nothing but destruction. Know what he said? And when it's finished,
it bringeth forth death.
That's spiritual suicide. That's what. So then Judas goes out and he kills himself. He commits physical suicide, but now he is spiritually suicidal and physically suicidal. So he's spiritually dead. That makes sense? So what I'm trying to get us to see is that there's a before the sop and then there's after the sop. And so when you start looking at our lives, all of us have a before the sop opportunity. And before we sop with the devil, we need to think about it.
Amen.
We need to think about what we're becoming the son. We're becoming the son of perdition. We're becoming the sop. We're becoming the son of perdition. So my question today is, who in this audience have sopped with the devil? You know, and that just means you having suicidal thoughts right now. But don't die like that, because that's an after the sop moment. Well, you say God gives us a chance. Judas has a chance. He didn't take it. You can take it this morning. You can choose God over the devil. You can choose to obey God, and I encourage you to do it, because after the sop is nothing but nighttime remaining. Amen. It's all darkness. That's all he had left was darkness. That's all Judas had was darkness, y'all. And so all of us going to be faced with these spiritual suicidal thoughts when we're tempted by the devil to sin. Once we're tempted, we go through the thought process. The thought process takes us into a decision-making process. It says, are you going to go through with this thought of sin, or are you not? When you say, I'm not going to go through it, you're repenting. When you repent, that's before the sop. If you go through with it, there's going to be an after the sop. Am I making sense? It's a before the sop and a what? After the sop. Before the sop, you can repent. After the sop, you die. Once you go through with it, before the sop, and then after them. So all you're doing is sopping with the devil. And when you sop with the devil, you become the son of perdition, which means you are SOP yourself. Now, I did pretty good on that acronym right there, didn't I?
Amen.
My question becomes this. How many of us can admit we done sopped? If you don't know the answer, I'll say all have
sin.
Stop. All have stop. You can say it. Because God already knows. If you say you didn't, you're a liar, and that's your stop. Now, the truth ain't in you. Amen. So it's all of us have done it. But the point, God gives us a chance, like it did Judas. We don't have to go kill ourselves. We can repent.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to die in sin. We can get it right. Is that right? That's the good thing about being a child of God. I can ask God to forgive me. Amen, somebody. But as I grow spiritually, then I start thinking about it before I sop with the devil. I make decisions. I choose to do it, or I choose not to do it. I choose who I'm going to serve by going through the act of the sin. I will have the thoughts, but do I have to go through with that? I don't have to go through the act. But there is an after the sop. Once I go through that, it brings forth spiritual death or separation from God. But God has given us a way back, y'all. He loved the world. All of the world was his friend. All of them sopped. Amen. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he sent Jesus. Jesus came. He never sopped with the devil. Amen, somebody. He didn't. He went and stood before those men. He knew it was one of the devils at the table. He still loved them. He went to the garden. He prayed 3 times. He still loved Judas. Amen. Judas had a sop moment. Jesus never had a sop moment. He went. He got beaten because of Judas' sop. He was whipped because of Judas' sop. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. And they beat him with a whip because of Judas' sop. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head because of Judas' sop. Amen. They put a robe on his back, cross on his back, led him up a hill of Calvary because of Judas' sop.
Amen.
It was Judas. Wasn't it Judas? It was Judas' sop, wasn't it? Took him up on the cross, drove nails in his hand because of Judas' sop. They drove nails in his feet because of Judas' sop. He hung on the cross because of Judas' sop. He hung up there 6 hours because of Judas' sop. Is that right, y'all? Yeah. Because of Judas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you know it wasn't because of Judas, don't you? It was all of us. It was every one of us that sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the God. All of us is the reason he's on the cross. He's at the cross now. We have to see him on the cross bleeding, shedding blood. Bring us into a spiritual relationship with God.
Amen.
Suffering to give us that decision before the sop. Choosing. He shedded blood. They took him off the cross, buried him in a tomb. He resurrected with power. He said, go in the world. Tell them what I did. Give them the gospel. He that believeth in his what? Baptized shall be saved. So you have a before the salt moment right now. You'll choose God and you'll choose the devil right now. Here's how you choose God. By believing Jesus hung on that cross. Hearing it. Believing it. Number two, three, repent right now. Make a decision. I'm not leaving. I'm not choosing the devil today. I'm coming home. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming home. Yeah, I'm coming. And then once you say, I'm coming to the Lord, I'm going to make a decision. What you got to do? Make your decision before the start that you're going to make this confession. You believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. Then when you make that decision, you make the decision, give your body to be buried with him in baptism. Because baptism is for the remission of the sin, for the remission of sin. Baptism is where you clean up. Baptism is where you bring you to that friendship relationship with Jesus. And then when you come into that relationship in baptism, he gives you the Holy Spirit, and then you live according to the scripture, and you live, you're walking in the light all the time. Because after the sop is darkness. But in Christ is light. If you follow light, which is the word of God, then Lord, then we'll add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And that's the only church in the Bible. I said that about five times already. If you didn't get it, let me say it one more time. The only church in the Bible is the church of Christ. Yeah, did you miss it? One more time. The only church in the Bible is the church of Christ. You think they got it? The only church in the Bible is the church of Christ. I can't read another one in there. It ain't in there. And the Bible said to save them in the church. And I'm going to have to say church of Christ. I'm going to have to say it. Because that's the only one in the Bible. Is that good? I got it before the stop, mama. Do you? So here's the stop. Everybody here. Anybody need to make a confession? Ask for forgiveness. Be baptized. You're getting ready to make a before the stop situation. This is a before the stop. When we stand and you don't come, you're in the after stop. Because what you did was chose the devil over God. What you did, you broke bread with the devil. Last thing you want to do. It's sop with him. That a good lesson? Yeah. It's a little, I'm about 5-10 minutes longer than I normally be, but that's okay, ain't it?
Amen.
I've been gone a couple weeks. I didn't make up for it.
Amen.
Well, I want y'all to do, what song we got this morning? Where he leads our father. What's the chorus on that one say? Yeah, that's one. He said, and I can hear my Savior calling. Now, here's what I'm saying. Before the sop, hear the Lord calling. After the sop, you're separated. So who gonna hear him? Those who need prayer, come to the Lord. Those who need to ask forgiveness, come to the Lord. Those who want to get baptized this morning, the clothes are ready, baptism pools are ready. We will baptize you. You can be washed in the blood.
Amen.
You got a before the stop decision right now. When we sat down, know what you just did. You have an after the stop situation, which means you are in darkness. Because it's nighttime. That's a good lesson. I think I'll make some series out of that one. That's a good one. Wouldn't you come as together we stand and say, I want you to come. Come to the Lord. He wants you to come as well.
Amen. Amen.